Hello, hello. This is Melissa Albers, and today is November 17th, and it is, let me see here, it is 12 o'clock Eastern time, 11 o'clock my time here in Minneapolis, and I'm so excited to be on today. I have the good fortune of covering Roddy's calls. I think Roddy and Susan are at Turning Point today, and so I am, I was very excited to be asked to take his call today, and I know I am not Roddy, nor do I ever expect to be remotely like Roddy for multiple reasons. But anyway, I'm looking forward to speaking with you all today. The topic of our conversation is going to be, how do you facilitate a really good team meeting? And I don't want this to be like a theoretical. Some of you have been on my line before. Actually, I see quite a few of you that have. And you know that I'm all about just getting down and what's it really like in real life, not the theoretical practice. For those of you that are not familiar with me, I've had a leadership development company, and I've been a speaker, trainer, and coach for about 16 years now, based out of Minneapolis, and I've got a good group of folks with me now in the organization, and it's been a really, really fun journey, and I've been with John Maxwell now for about 5 years, as I was really excited to have the opportunity to add some content to some of the learning that we were providing for our clients. So it's been a really awesome ride, and the reason that I get so fired up to be able to have these conversations with you is that I feel like it's so nice to be able to talk with somebody that's done it, and I'm not professing that my way is the right way or the only right way, but what I am professing is it's my way, and so if I can even give you some examples of how it's worked for me and what things don't work for me, then maybe that will help you in your journey and maybe get you to your end goal a little quicker. So that's kind of the intention. I have just a couple of announcements before I get into that. I just wanted to remind everybody that IMC registration is still open. And I know that as of the 15th, which was, I guess, Friday. I guess that was on Wednesday. I don't know whether they're holding those room blocks any longer, but I would, if I were you, hop on and get that taken care of if you're going to come in February, which I hope you are. The Global Youth Initiative is now completely complete and done, and you can find the first lesson of that in the GYI course on our website. And then just a couple other short announcements. Don't forget about the Mentorship Killer offer. If you are interested in building your John Maxwell team personally, now is a really good time because of Paul's killer offer. So please watch that on the mentorship page, or if you haven't done that, go check it out. And then also become an executive director on the club level. We are really excited. There's actually quite a bit of stuff going on with this that I'll keep a little under wrap right now, but I'm excited about it. There's so much opportunity for you if you are an executive director. And so we would love for you to hop on a support call with Dee Denton if you have questions about becoming an executive director, want to understand what that looks like for you and how it works. She runs several of those support calls and is absolutely, I love Dee. She's so full of energy and so easy to talk with. So she's a great person to reach out to with questions. If we have any executive directors on the line during Q&A, if you're putting yourself in there, please let me know. I'd love to recognize that you've already become an executive director. That's super awesome. So just give a shout out to that. And then finally, the Live to Lead Replay Week is January 22nd. So you can listen to the replay of the L2L call with Paul and PAC President John Griffin to get ready for some additional support and resources there. So that is it for my announcements. My goodness. I'm always worried. The two things that I worry about when I hop on these calls is that I'm going to forget to do the announcements or I'm going to do them wrong. And then the second thing that I've worried about is that I forget to record the call. And that has happened one time, and I woke up in the middle of the night stressing about it. So you can tell I should probably have other things that I can be stressing about if I'm going to wake myself up in the night. But anyway, I'm happy to report with both of these events, I've done them now, and we can get into the conversation at hand. So I just got back. I was in Baltimore with a client. They're a client that I've had for a couple of years. I have some clients that I've had for 15, and then through referrals, I get some other additional clients. And this one is fairly new that I've had them for 2 years. And I was working with the executive leadership team on the first day, and then I was working with the entire management team on the second day. And I'm always tired at the end of those days of doing team sessions and working with people, but I can always tell the success of the event by my energy level at the end, which is sort of an interesting thing that I've started to realize. I can tell that if I'm exhausted at the end, and I mean flat out exhausted, fall asleep in the airplane chair before the plane ever takes off, or I can barely get myself in my car to get home because I'm so physically and mentally exhausted, then I know that it was a pretty tough session and that we maybe didn't have as much success as I had originally hoped. If I go out of there feeling tired, like I didn't leave anything on the table, but I really saw progress and people were connecting with each other and people were learning, I get really excited about that, and that I find to be very energizing. And so I want to just talk a little bit about my journey and as how I've looked at creating and maintaining a high level of expectation of yourself during any of the team sessions that you might be doing. Now, just to set the tone, there could be a lot of different kinds of team sessions that you're doing. You might be doing something within the John Maxwell team curriculum. You might not be. You may be a John Maxwell team member, but you're doing something else. Like I also do strategic planning. Or you might be using different types of assessments or tools. In any event, you're working with a team of leaders. And so there's certain key things that I think really make a difference in being successful. So I told, I mentioned on the Facebook announcement, if you saw that, I think there are five key things that you need to keep in mind during your session. As a facilitator, but I want to back up just a little bit before we get to that part, and I want to talk about how do I set the conditions and the circumstances for the event to go well before we even start the event. So I want to just let you know I have sort of a game plan that I follow each time, even if there is a an HR person involved or whoever is the owner of this session. I sit down with them beforehand and I ask them some of their own personal expectations. So I don't mean in a philosophical check off the box, here's a form. What I want to know is, hey, what do you expect to accomplish today? So let's say I've got 3 hours with everybody, or let's say we're doing an all day event. So yesterday I had an event with, there would be 25 people in a hotel conference room, and we started at 8 a.m. and we ended at 3 p.m. So in that case, I said, what do you expect that we can accomplish in this day? And then I just listen, and I listen because we've already made the arrangement, right, for what the content is going to be, presumably. We've already sort of agreed on high level, you know, this is what I'm to deliver for their organization. But I really want to personally know that stakeholder, what is it that they've got on their mind and in their heart as they're trying to get this accomplished? They're putting a lot on the line. They're paying for me. They're flying me in. They're bringing in all of their people. It's a day out of the office, a day out of all the output. And there's quite a bit of pressure in doing this. And I think we kind of forget that sometimes. So I'll just ask them, what do you expect to accomplish today? And then I'll always ask this too. Is there anyone that you are concerned about or you're worried will act up in the session? And this is funny because I started to recognize after hundreds and hundreds of sessions that there was always one that was going to act up somewhere. They just did. And I didn't know what to do about that when I was in my younger days. Like I would try different things. Sometimes I would go at them in the same energy that they were putting out. Sometimes I would try the opposite. But I found that there's always going to be, you know, somebody that's maybe a late adopter to the idea, or there might be somebody that's just, they're not feeling well, they're crabby, they're whatever the case might be, okay? So I like to ask, is there anyone that you're concerned about or you're worried will act up in the session? In yesterday's example, when I asked the question, they said, oh, yeah, you're going to hear from Justin. And I said, okay, well, tell me about that. And they were like, good luck. Every time we have these, he's the guy who stands up and says all the reasons why none of our ideas are going to work. He's super, super smart, and he wants to make sure that everybody else knows how smart he is. So they went into it with this energy that he was not going to add value. He was going to be a problem child. So then, with that information, I had different decisions that I could make about how I wanted to be with Justin. So I just make note of that and say, okay, no worries. Thanks for letting me know. And I don't get involved in any of the drama. Like, I don't show emotion matching their emotion as they describe it to me, okay? I just say, okay, that's cool. So I'll say to them, what's a perfect event outcome look like for you? Like, what does it look like when we're done at 3 o'clock? How are you going to walk out at 3 o'clock and say, wow, that was the best 7 hours we've spent together? What would that need to look like? And it's just interesting to get them thinking about it from that perspective, because a lot of times we spend all of the energy planning the event, and we seldom will really take the time afterwards to say, how did that feel? Like, what were the unexpected consequences of that? And it's super interesting when you do that in advance, because it gives them something different to think about, and it makes them feel different. So then I'll often say after that, okay, so what are your plans? What do you hope to do after this event? Like, are you guys wanting to do any further sessions? Are you open to different ideas if I can identify that there's key things that the team should be thinking about? What are your plans, or what do you hope to do after this event? If they say nothing, then I'll say, okay, well, here's my plan after the event. I'm gonna sit down, and I'm going to give you a brief write-up. I'm going to send you an email. Nothing fancy. It's not going to be a book. In the Melissa version, it's probably going to be some bullet points that say, here's what I thought went well. Here are some things that I might want to consider right now. And here are some options for you to think about if you want to continue on with their development where they are right now. And so that I make that commitment to them. And it's not a long conversation. It took me longer to describe to you right now than it did to actually have the conversation with the owners, and often it's usually pretty short discussion. All right. Then before the session, I make sure everything is ready, okay? Meaning, I've got all of my materials. I have a set of extras. I always bring extras. I carry with me, these are going to sound like little silly things, but I cannot tell you how much they have saved me over the years. I carry with me a zippered pouch that holds, like it's a rectangle shape, and it holds an extra set of big markers. It holds dry erase markers in dark colors, blue and green. Dry erase markers, if you carry red and orange, very hard for people in the back of the room to see, okay? So I usually carry one or two markers for flip charts, and then a couple of dark colored dry erase markers. I always carry a slide advancer plug-in, you know, that you can put into your laptop for presenting that works with my laptop, so I never have to worry about somebody else's. I always have an extra pen, some cards. I always carry an extra battery for the slide advancer. Can you tell that these are all things that have happened to me? And here is the major thing I'm super excited about. I carry a set of dongles. Do you know what that is? Those are, if you have a Mac and you do presentations with Mac, and even if you don't, even if you just got a standard laptop, a lot of times, depending on what the plugins are for your laptop, they may or may not match the plugins of the projector or the systems within the places that you travel, whether it be at another company's using their projector, or if you're in a hotel, you never know what the hotel equipment's going to be, and particularly if you have a Mac. You always want to make sure that you have a couple of extra plugins. One is the SGVA or SVGA. It's the little one that has all the pinholes in it. That's the typical one from years and years that we've used on the back of projectors. And then HDMI is becoming something that's more prevalent. And so you just want to have a couple of those carrying with you. So I have everything ready. I have my little, and that little zippered pouch is with me, ready to rock and roll, so I don't have to recreate the wheel every time. I just bought extras of everything, stuck it in there, and I'm all good to go. I make sure that in advance I have asked them, please have a projector. Please have a flip chart. I'd like a whiteboard. If there's lots and lots of people and you want to do name tents, great. Don't have to if you don't want. That part's okay. But I always just ask them to bring all the big bulky stuff that I don't want to bring. Even if they're right by me, I still have them do that instead of me. Okay? So that's the stuff that I do in advance. So let's talk about during the session. And I said on the Facebook post, there are 5 key things that I do during the session. And I think that these are really, really vital things. So so number one, I get everybody in the room. It's just us. And the first thing that I will do is I'll shut the door of the conference room. Some people leave doors open. And I have found that that is something that is hard for people because it's distracting for them. They watch out the door. If there's a sound out in the hall, and then some people feel like, ooh, these are private conversations. So just try to make sure that the doors are closed. I try to make sure that the lighting is such that they can still see the screen if they need to, but it's not dark. I try to just make sure that people are comfortable, right? So there's enough table room, that there's enough space in between the chairs. And so I just sort of talk to them, and I give them a quick introduction, and I tell them, I'm really looking forward to being here for you today. And I'm going to make a couple of commitments to you. And I'm going to ask you to make a couple of commitments to the room as well. I will say my commitment to you is I'm going to deliver the best facilitation that I can. And I respect all of you. I respect your time. I respect your talents. And I presume you guys are a group of pretty smart people or you wouldn't be in this room. I also commit to you that I will keep us on time. And so in the facilitation, what does it mean to be the best facilitator? For me, it means that I get out of the way. A good facilitator, in my mind, almost disappears in the room because they are working so people can work together. And it isn't about getting the limelight, right? The facilitator's job isn't to be a spectacle. The facilitator is there to just get in and help these people work best together so that they can learn and that you can move the dial for them a little bit that day. So I commit to trying to do the very best job. I give them my description of what I think a good facilitator is. And I'll tell them, listen, I might have to stop some conversations. If you guys are getting too in the weeds and using too many examples, that happened a lot yesterday. I will put my hand up in a T and I will smile at you. And I want you to please not take it personally. It is my commitment to keep you on time and to get you through what it is you said you wanted to get through. So that's my commitment to you. Now, here's your commitment to me and to the rest of this group. Please put all of your telephones away. I don't want your phones under your foot, under your leg, upside down on the table, vibrating in your purse. And I always smile and I say, yes, I know. I'm being very militant about this. But here's the thing. I know you're used to dealing with your phone, but when your phone goes off, every other person at that table starts to get distracted. Oh, so-and-so just picked up their phone. Look, they're reading underneath the table. I wonder if I have any messages. And it just gets people's minds traveling in a way that we just isn't really productive. We've made this commitment to be with each other. So if I could please ask, please put your phones away and please be present in this session. Now, obviously, some of you are a parent, or there may be something going on in your life where it is not possible for you to put your phone away right now. And I completely honor your space. If you can just raise your hand so that I know that that's the case with you and everybody else knows that's the case with you, and then we're good to go and you go ahead and do your thing with your phone. And so that's sort of how I set the tone. So the number one thing that I like to do is set intentions and expectations for the room. All right, the second thing that I do is I watch the clock. People get, if you're going to give people a schedule, stay on it. Stay on the schedule. And if you don't know, if you know you're not good at keeping a schedule, don't give them one that has specific timelines. I had a team of very analytical people with me yesterday afternoon. And in the schedule, we had set forth that down to the 15-minute increment when we would be taking breaks. Now, I was on the schedule. It was fine. But at 11:30 sharp, we were supposed to take lunch. And when we opened up the door from the hotel room, they hadn't set the lunch up in time, and they were scrambling it around to set that lunch up. So we just flipped a couple of things around, and I had them do another thing that took 30 minutes, and it was perfect, and it kept us on schedule. However, it really threw them off because, oh, my gosh, here we're supposed to have this time. And you can feel the energy change in the room when people start to get distracted, okay? And I think you probably know what I mean when I say that. Like, even when you think back to, like, how we are in IMCs, even with that many people, you can scan the room right after lunch, and you can scan the room an hour later, and you can feel the energy difference from table to table, can't you? Like, you can see when certain people feel tired, certain people aren't listening, certain people are super excited, and you can really, really feel that. So part of that arrangement has to do with the schedule. And it sounds silly, but it's so, so, so true. So in order to keep people not distracted, or in other words, to keep people so they can stay focused, make sure that you're staying on time. And be willing to modify something so that you can still be on time, if that makes sense. Be willing to modify something. So maybe you had 3 activities planned, and it's obvious that the first activity is taking them a really long time. Then it's likely you're probably going to want to ditch one of those other ones. So let me give you an example. Yesterday, one of the things that I wanted to do was we had done strategic planning with this organization, and there were 3 key initiatives that the company had decided that they were going to attach to for the next year. And what the management team session, one of the pieces was, we wanted to get them on board and help us brainstorm what are some key things we should be thinking about as we're developing the plan for each one of these initiatives. Well, these 25 high-level executives, and this company is a big company, they were completely thrown for a loop. So we were going to do this exercise 3 times. We had them set up in 3 tables. We had the key initiatives, the executive that owns the initiative stand up and spend 2 minutes saying, this is the initiative, this is why the company chose it, here's what we're going to accomplish in Q1 for this initiative. Can you give us some ideas? Because Q1's initiative is to make the plan for the rest of the year so the initiative gets done. What do you think are some things that we should think about? And I was going to give them about 7 minutes at the table to be able to brainstorm. And I asked each table to come up with 3 things. I'll be darned, they couldn't come up with 2 things. Each table got completely paralyzed because they began to challenge each person's idea. They started to, they would like riff off of another person's idea, like, oh yeah, that happened to me. And before you know it, they were giving example after example of things and yet had made no decision whatsoever. So that was a very interesting experience. So I rephrased it. I said, okay, let's try this again. I'm asking you to still do the same exercise. So your exercise at each table is to come up with 3 key things you think they should be thinking about in this plan for this key initiative. And then somebody's going to stand at your table and tell us what you came up with. This time, no dialogue about examples. I want everybody to, even if you think it's a halfway good idea or you think it's a great idea, you're not sure your table mate will think it's a good idea, I don't care. Just throw it up on the board. Just put it down. Brainstorming is all about yes, not no. So there's no wrong answer, just brainstorm. And the second time that they did it, they had slightly greater success. One table had 2, another table had 4, and another table had 3. So we were able to work with that. But what was very interesting is I recognized that their ability in the leadership team to brainstorm was so clouded by everything having to be perfect that they were really limiting their ability to think. So now think about this, you guys. I'm in this room with these people, and I'm not here to teach them how to brainstorm. However, it's a really good learning opportunity because you can see they're struggling with that. And so I stopped for a moment and I thought, yep, I'm adjusting my afternoon activity and I'm going to do this some more because they're going to feel 100% better if we do this again with the 3rd initiative and they nail it. They're going to feel so accomplished that they figured out a different way of working in teams as they're trying to brainstorm. and as they're trying to brainstorm big ideas that are moving the company forward. And so we did that again. And the third time, they were done early, and each table had at least 5 ideas. So it was a huge win for them. They were so excited. I have to tell you, the energy just felt so different. Like they really felt accomplished, and they started to sort of trust their own abilities to make some decisions. So that was really, really, really awesome. So I watched the clock, but even so, I was willing to adjust some things to keep us on track that way. So that's the second thing. The third thing is read the room, not your owner's manual. And I've been giving you a little of that example, but you know, we are in the business of delivering content, and especially if you're fairly new into delivering team sessions, it is so typical for our way of thinking is, oh my gosh, I have to have all this content. I have to have this, and we're going to cover this, and then I've got 6 minutes for this. And sometimes, actually most of the time, it's good to have plenty of stuff to do if you need the time or to fill the time. But I think if you sit and think about it, usually what happens, if you sit long enough for people to actually grasp what you're teaching and you give them some chance to work on it together, it takes a lot longer to deliver even a smaller bit of content. Sometimes I think we just get too focused on content and we forget that we are with people. You know, we're trying to teach people. People get scared. You know, when you're delivering new content, a lot of people get very anxious. They don't understand. You know, they don't understand what you're saying. And think about the room right now. They're all sitting at these tables, even if they know each other sort of. You've got introverts dealing with extroverts. You've got extroverts dealing with introverts. They're all at the same table for the whole day, stuck together, elbow to elbow. You know, they're sharing water jugs, and they're sharing those awful hard candies in the middle of every table that were expired in the 50s. There's a lot of things happening for them. In their normal day, they don't sit all day at a table with a bunch of people. You know, they're moving around and doing stuff. So you kind of have to think about your audience from a real perspective of how are they? Do they look like they're tired? Do they look like they're engaged? And are you able to move that dial? Are they really understanding the content that you're teaching? So I always suggest really, really read the room and watch for the energy pockets, right? You can kind of see when people are starting to get tired. I tell you what, yesterday after lunch with this team, as just an example, about 1 o'clock or so, you know, that's when it hits. So by the way, when I do lunches, I try not to let people have a lot of carbohydrates. So this group had sandwiches. So most everything else did not have carbohydrate in it. Like I avoid pastas. I try not to have them have a lot of breads and that sort of thing, because you can't stay awake at about 1:30 if you ate lunch and you had a bunch of carbohydrates. As a trainer and as a facilitator, it is really hard to keep people's attentions. And yesterday was no different. I had 2 guys who were really engaged in the morning. One guy's eyes started to close, and the room was kind of getting warmer. And so it was really necessary for me to say, okay, guys, you guys feel tired. Am I right? And then no one wants to say anything. And then I say, okay, a couple of you, your eyes are starting to slam shut. Okay, everybody stand up. And I literally made everybody stand up and reach their arm up in the air and then their other arm in the air and then shake it all out. And I made jokes about it, and they did too. And, you know, in my younger facilitations, I would have said, okay, everybody sit back down, let's get to work. And now I'm a lot more flexible. I'm like, you know what? I know it's hard. If you want to listen and it's easier for you to stand up, then go stand up. Walk somewhere on the corner so you're not taking up someone else's room. But move. You can move around if it's easier for you. And that freed people up to be able to get back engaged and be present. So kind of read the room, watch the energy. And so number 4, be willing to ditch content over quality conversation among the group. And I used the example of the exercise that I was having people do. But you know what? This applies even if we're teaching a specific leadership thing. So if we're doing it like everyone communicates, view, connect, or we're talking about communication, or we're doing something like that, and the group gets into a really healthy conversation that is and they're animated and they're connecting to each other, I will oftentimes tone down the amount of stuff that I'm trying to hand them. And I will let them have that dialogue because they're learning. And again, the good facilitator can be able to say, okay, right now, is this off track or is this exactly what we want? And I need to let them have the space and the freedom to grow from each other right now because I can really feel that that's happening. And then you can tell when it starts going down a rabbit hill, you know, a rabbit hole, and be able to bring it back. But be willing to ditch a little of your content over quality conversation amongst the group, because at the end of the day, that's really why they're there. They're there to be together and learn together, but the whole point of it is to be together. And then finally, number five, the last thing that I always do during the session is I close with plenty of time for feedback. Yesterday, as I mentioned, we had a 7-hour day scheduled, 8 until 3. I made sure that by 2:30, we were done. And the reason I do that is I'll say, okay, we've got a few more minutes, and here's what I'd like to do with the last bit of time. I would like everybody to sit for a moment and think about today. And then I stop talking and I let them do that. And then I say, I'd like you to come up with one high from today, a low for you from today, and list one action item that you are going to do as a result of something that happened here today. So I'd like you to list a personal high, personal low, and one action item. And I don't care who starts, and let's just go around the room and just talk to each other. And this is a wonderful experience to do because people at this stage in my events are feeling pretty confident and comfortable to share because it's been very interactive the whole time. They've been given grace. They can talk when they need to. They've been guided out of it when they felt that other group, when they're getting down rabbit holes. And so they're now at a place where they're sort of being reflective. It's like, oh, wow, look at that. We're done for the day already. And the kinds of information that you glean from that is extremely helpful for you as you're going to do some write-ups after the event for the owner or the stakeholder of the session. So some of the things that I heard as an example yesterday, I heard people say, a high for me was just us being together. I had probably 5 people said that out of the room. We don't do this enough. Why can't we be together more? It's so helpful when we can do these things together. And we really appreciate that the company is bringing us together so that we can learn. That was a lot of the highs. And then lows that I heard were actually so impactful. I heard a couple of people say, you know, I have been blaming the executive team for why we aren't doing things, but I now understand that I actually have quite a bit to do with the outcomes here. And I've learned that, I have to show up, that I can't just blame other people. If I'm in the management team, I have to set the tone for how other people see things. So I heard that probably 2 or 3 times. And then you'll hear all sorts of stuff, like what's the one thing you'll do? Some people will have heard you reference a particular book or a YouTube video that you thought was helpful in the moment as to what you were talking about. You might hear somebody talk about how they want to go further into one specific aspect of what you were teaching. You might have groups talk about, I didn't realize I was such an analytical person, or I didn't realize I was such a people person and what that looked like to the opposite personality style. You just hear all sorts of things, but closing up the room and asking people for one single action plan that they'd like to do, if given in the way that they are personalizing it with their feelings about the experience, both a high and a low, they're much more apt to be attached to the outcome. So for me, it's all about how do we create an environment where people are emotionally attached to the experience, not just mentally attached to the experience of learning. And that's the piece that comes through really, really strong facilitation, and it takes practice. But it's very attainable and very achievable, and I think that people get so much benefit when a facilitator is willing to just be with them in that moment from a feelings perspective, not just an analytical perspective. So I know I've done a lot of talking. I'd like to open up the Q&A session. If you've got specific questions that you would like to ask, or that you think would be helpful for people on the call that you have found in your facilitation, I would absolutely love to hear from you. If this is your first time on the call, all you need to do is hit *61 and we will put you in the queue. So we've got a couple people now. We'll check in. Hi, this is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. This is CJ. How you doing?
I'm good. Hi, CJ. Thanks for being the first one on.
Thank you, and thanks for sharing. This has been really, really great. I have a quick, well, actually a couple of questions, but the first one.
Okay.
So,
yep.
So how did it turn out with the individual that was going to act up? Did that individual act up, and how did you handle that?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you asked. He was ready to be a little turkey. He was you could just tell he had this physical stance about him, you know, like he was kind of closed and he was sure I was going to say something stupid. Like you could just tell that's what he thought. And so what I did is I actually went over at the beginning of the session. They had told me that he was going to be the one who gave me a hard time. And so the night before we had dinner together as a group, which I always try to do too as a facilitator, is if I can be invited to their social setting, it's easier. And so I actually sat next to him and I looked at him and I said, well, I heard that you are a very discerning person and it might be a challenge to give you information tomorrow. And I said something like that, you know, just really kind of warm. And he was like, well, I don't know why you would say that or something like that. And I just said something about that he was a very analytical person and I hoped that I would be able to add value to him because while I am somewhat analytical, I'm much more of a people person. So we had a really good conversation in the evening. Here's what's interesting. When we got to the session the next morning, he immediately repositioned himself the way that they had said he would.
Wow.
And during the first exercise, during the very first exercise, when we were trying, remember I told you we were doing that brainstorming session and the tables just got really stuck. He got really, 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 he got red in the face and he's like, this doesn't have any context. I don't understand. And I realized, here it is. And so I just said to him, oh, that's such a great question. So tell me what, if you weren't worrying about being absolutely right, what are some of the ideas that you maybe would have said?
Wow.
And he gave me one, and I said, rock on. That is an absolutely excellent one. And
okay.
All of a sudden, he started to laugh. It was shocking. It was very, very, he just flipped. Now, it's not always that easy. For him, I found that was pretty easy, but I knew that he needed, because they told me he was so analytical, he needed to be right. That was something that was very important to him. And I don't mean from an ego perspective. I actually mean in order for him to feel okay about himself.
Yeah, yeah.
So giving him that okay that, no, okay, I get that. And so this is just a hypothesis. This isn't your absolute feeling. What would you have said? So he was really different then. Thank you for asking about that.
Wow, that's good. That's so much value there too. And maybe this one, if you don't mind, what was the breakdown of your facilitation? Like kind of just maybe give us a rough breakdown of I did this intro, then I did this exercise, then, you know, we went to lunch. Kind of thing, if you're able to still remember that.
Well, I am, but my only challenge to this is when we facilitate leadership events, there's no such thing as a standard, right? That's my challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy to share with you, and I will because you ask. So for me, I was doing some, at the beginning of the morning, I was doing like more brainstorming sessions. So it was my job to sort of tell the management team what the executive team had worked on through the day before and to try to bridge the gap between the executive team and the management team because there's a big gap in that particular culture. And so for me to how I wanted to address that, and they didn't really actually think that I should do any leadership development. They didn't see, it's very funny, the executive team said, you know, we don't have as many strong players on the management team. And I was like, well, that's an interesting thing to say. So have you ever developed them? No. So I said, so you're getting exactly what you put into it. Well done. Like how you're getting exactly what you paid for. But they weren't super open. And so I had to take a little creative license in how I wove some of it in. So what they really wanted me to do was work on the gap. between the executive team and the management team.
Okay.
So, and to use the planning session as sort of the way to do that. And so, so the first part of the morning was really talking about the strategic initiatives, why we chose what we did, and then to ask their, to get more of their feedback and whatnot with that and teach them how to brainstorm, because there was a sort of an attitude that the management team never took responsibility for things and that they would always do hot potato stuff. Well,
yeah.
I didn't really feel that they probably were doing that. I felt like through the dialogue that I was getting that it was really probably because they hadn't been equipped. And they hadn't been given the authority.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, I'm taking so long to answer your very simple question. So basically what I did is I did a brainstorming exercise in the morning to try to create awareness about how they could make decisions better. We had lunch, we came back, and then I actually started to do some communication stuff with them. Because the room is built of highly analytical people, and less than half of them were very social people, and which is very common in leadership teams. You know, you're going to have both sides. However, because they were so heavy on the analytical side, they were data-driving everything. So they weren't connecting people with the initiatives. They were trying to overanalyze every initiative, and then they couldn't understand why people weren't on board. So my goal was to develop their thinking slightly, to bring them higher level and see how much influence that they actually had on the organization in terms of how they showed up. And when they were just analyzing, how could they expect anybody else to do anything different? So we did some exercises around that. So it was,
okay.
I did brainstorming activities in the morning. We had lunch. We only did like 30 minutes for lunch. And then I had them do two or three different exercises around elevating their awareness around leadership and then some communication stuff. I had them get up in the room. One thing that was really fun that I had them do is I said, okay, if you're a more social style of leader, I want you to go stand over in this corner. If you're a more analytical kind of leader, I want you to go stand in this corner. And now I want you to whiteboard the other team, what you like about them and what drives you crazy about them. And it was super fun. We had a little heavier on the analytical side, but we had quite a few on the social side too, and they really had fun with that. And they had no awareness until we did it. Because they're like, wow, no wonder. People in situations, they have to talk to think. Analytical people want to think to talk.
Yeah.
And if you're in a room trying to solve problems and there's a social person and 10 analytical people, who's talking the whole time?
Wow.
So, wow. Yeah, so we do a couple of exercises like that and then some at the table. So I hope that helps.
That helps. And one more thing, if I may. What was did you lean on any particular curriculum when you were going through the brainstorming session? Or did you kind of just come up with your own stuff?
I did not use any curriculum in that event because here's basically the exercise.
Mm-hmm.
As a facilitator, I guided them with a specific expectation. This is what I want you to brainstorm. Okay? So you heard me say, like if you wanted to say, let's just make one up. Let's just say that let's use the leadership team that we're talking about and say that they have a harder time communicating. Right? If they have a hard time communicating with their peer group, you know that that's traveling downhill and it's harder with everybody else too. So one of the brainstorm activities I could have said is, what are some ways that you can become more clear in your communication with yourselves and the organization? And then I give them 5 minutes to talk at their tables. And then I had three tables in this case. And then and 5 minutes wasn't enough, so I gave them another five. It wasn't enough. I gave them another five. This is the first time. And then, but when they were ready, I had one person going right on the whiteboard what was said and one person stand at the table and talk about what they came up with.
All
right. So that at the end, I had three different handwritings on a flip chart and three tables had talked about what they learned.
Wow. Well, that has been a lot of value. Thank you so much, Melissa.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for your question.
Yeah, this will be my go-to call. You know that, right?
That's awesome. Yeah, Roddy, did you hear that? Oh,
thanks
thank
so
you
much.
So
Have
much.
A good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Hi, is this Pablo?
Hey, Melissa. Yes, it's Pablo. Hey. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. What a value-packed call. I was not expecting so much from someone that I've never actually been on the call with. So thank
oh,
you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And actually, I think it's perfect for my question, too. But it might be a lot, too, because I'm thinking my question is around doing a virtual mastermind group for a group of how would you facilitate it for a group if it's going to be more than 12? So any ideas around that?
Well,
how do I do a lot of what you just said here, but then, you know, kind of virtually?
Yeah. Are they all on the line at the same time? You mean like,
so,
are these recorded or?
Yeah. So I'll give you a little bit. It's a group of branch managers, right? Mortgage folks who I already met with last week when they were all in the same kind of room together.
Oh, got it.
But they're from,
yeah.
But they're from all over the country. So I've done
oh,
some
sure.
of that pre-work. And then next week I'm doing a kickoff call, mostly because it's a holiday week, and I want
yeah,
to
yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. So we're doing the kickoff call, which will just be a short kind of call, kind of laying out, you know, the vision and some of the quote unquote rules, and you know, laying the respect factors. And I'm going to use what you talked about with the during the five keys,
yeah,
kind of set
yeah.
and giving them my commitments and all that stuff. I think that's great.
Yeah.
But then when I started, and I am going to record all the calls, including
yep.
that one for the ones that can't be there, but it's a,
yeah,
it's a total of about 20 people. I don't know that all of them are going to be able to be on the call every single week, so I'm assuming it's just because as of right now, only really a dozen have accepted the calendar invites.
Right.
So what
do you know, any basic
thoughts on that?
Yeah, actually, I would check, do you use free conferencing? You might want to check with freeconferencing.com.
Yeah.
That's what we use for all of our stuff. And it's awesome because, like, you can have people asking you questions. You can see, you know, who's on the call. You can unmute and mute people at any given time, and you can record the call. And it's awesome. It's a great way to, like, right now, I mean, we have at any given time on my calls, I'll have 20, 50 people. Who knows? But you can all be participating in the same way.
Yeah. How do I?
You might
want to
try that.
You, no, I'm certainly going to do free conference call. But let me ask you this. I guess maybe it was more technically, or not technically, I don't know what the word is, but how do you, you know how you said, like, if you need to interrupt somebody because either they're taking up too much time or it's going in the wrong direction,
sure.
how do I smile
yeah.
virtually and do that?
I would be really upfront at the beginning. So this is one thing that I learned because, and it was funny because yesterday even the CEO said, oh, by the way, you know, Justin's probably going to get upset with you because you're going to not let him talk and talk and talk and monopolize the group. And he said, you should say something at the beginning. And he didn't know, but I was like, that's fantastic that the CEO had this awareness. So again, if you're setting the tone in advance, you're much easier being able to say, I mean no disrespect, but I want to make sure I keep us on schedule for the benefit of the team. And then, and so if you say that in advance and then you say it in a nice way, you know, people understand that. People understand that.
Okay.
If you don't say anything in advance, then sometimes they feel a little hijacked.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
no,
I
love that. That's a great idea. And then as far as, you know, I have a concern of just not getting everyone in or giving everyone kind of, you know, again, if it's maybe one day, like I said, it'll be 10, and who knows, maybe another day it'll be 15.
Yeah.
But what's a fair way without necessarily having to go way over on time, right, because they're already busy, and so I respect their time, to be able to get everyone in, and how maybe can I set that up either at the beginning of every call based on how many people are in, or would you do this on the kind of the kickoff call?
I would tell you at the kickoff call to set your intentions, again, very clearly about the calls are on time. We start on time and we stop on time. They're always recorded, so if you've missed something, you can grab a recording later. But for the benefit of the rest, you know, you don't want to modify for one or two people and have the rest of the people that were ready be disrespected because of it. So don't worry about the ones or twos. Just worry about doing your thing the way you say you're going to, with full respect, honoring everybody's time, and you'll be, trust me, people will actually make decisions about if they're going to stick with you on how loosey-goosey you may be. So if you stay very clear and very professional and just say, guys, we're starting at 10, I'm going to end at 11. I know some of you may get on or off late. I encourage you to be on time a couple minutes early because we're starting at the top of the hour. And I'm letting you know we will be done at this exact time because we are all busy. And it's, and when you do that, then people will lean into you more as they get to know you because they'll be like, oh, yeah, that Pablo, he always does what he says he's going to, and I got some value out of that, and I don't want to miss that next call. I'm sorry that I did. And I know he always ends on time, and oh, look at that, it's going to be late if I don't get on. And so they start to trust your system, and they want to be in that system.
Ooh, I love that. Okay.
Yeah, because sometimes, I'll tell you what, it gets really frustrating. Like, for me, I am very on point. Like, I am probably a little too rigid. I don't like being late. I don't like when people are late. It's hard for me. I mean, I'm just being honest. And so in a business setting, I feel frustrated if I'm sitting in a room and somebody saunters in. Okay, so yesterday they had a new employee starting. She came in, and she's in a leadership team. She came in 10 minutes late. She came in 10 minutes late, and the meeting was underway. And I thought, oh, my gosh, like, it sets the tone. So it just sets the tone, and I don't want to be that person. I know what my tone that I want to set. And so at the very beginning, I just set intentions and everything about what I'm expecting of me and what I'm expecting of them in the process.
Okay. Great. And
okay.
Then one last question, if that's okay, Melissa.
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
So in the resources, right, and part of the resource guides, we're going to be doing 15 laws. You know, I look at the resource guide in there, and it's like an 87-page thing for the whole thing. I don't even know that we're going to touch on every piece. Does it make sense if I'm not going to, or just give it to them anyway, and then again, kind of set the expectation we may not even go through most of the stuff, but just to have it? Or what are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question because I think that depends on your own personal choice. So here's the thing. If you give them everything right now and you don't think you're going to use it all, you may be losing an opportunity to get back in there to do the rest. So
I see what you're saying.
So if there's 10 exercises and you know for sure you're doing 5, and then you just say, well, we might get to 6 and 7, just give them 10. I only worry about that because I kind of like to just keep it real. Like, what are we really going to actually do? And if we need more, we'll put more out there. Hey, you guys, I thought we were going to only get through 4. It looks like we're going to have time to do another one, so I'm going to send you all another one. I mean, I would just be a little more – and if you do it in a professional way, it doesn't make you sound like you're, you know, not organized. It makes you sound like you're much more organized because you can say, for sure, I know we're going to get through this content. Depending on how fast we travel through that will be up to you guys, not me. So if it looks like we need another couple of things, I've got plenty. Please don't worry about that.
Oh, great. Okay. I like that.
I would kind of be more in, I just think that puts you a little more in a position of the influence, right? And that's what you want.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic, Melissa. Well, thank you so much. And next time you're in Baltimore, I'm down here in Ellicott City.
You are?
Yeah, I'd love to have coffee with you. Either way, but thank you so much. Yes.
Yeah, and, thank you.
I appreciate it. Bye-bye now.
Thanks. Good luck with everything. That sounds exciting. Hey, this is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. How are you?
Oh, hi.
I'm great, thank you.
Good. This is the first time I'm on your call. I'm truly enjoying just listening to everything. Okay, I have a question also. When you sit them at the table, and you said you had three tables. Is there a certain amount of each table that you decide, or you look at how many people
that's
are coming?
A good question. Oh, you're so smart to ask that question. It's a great question. Yes, 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 yes. My preferred table size is 6 or 8.
6 or 8 at a table?
Yes, and depending on how many people I have. So if I have, so as an example, if I have 14 people, then I will probably try to split them half and half on two tables. Okay?
Okay.
Some people might say, no, let's do three tables with, you know, four people and then a couple will have. Here's the thing. You just want the tables to be organized in a way where they're kind of close together, where the chairs can move away from each other, but they're not going to bang into each other. They'll have room depending on how much stuff you have on their tables. But I always ask to have rounds. I always ask, please have round tables, and I would prefer them to be set up for 6 to 8 people. That's how I usually will ask them to do that, because it makes it easier for the participants to work together.
Okay, so you let the people know in advance who's setting the tables up.
Yes.
Okay.
Because a lot of times what they'll do, they'll say, oh, a speaker's coming in, and then they'll put you in a room where you're at the front and all these people are looking at you and there's no way they can work together in teams.
Right.
Right? So you want, it's most important that they're working and learning together.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thanks, Melissa. I don't know if I said my name or not, but my name is Valeria.
Yeah,
I truly,
Thank you so much.
I truly, truly enjoyed you.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Hi, is this John?
Yeah, Melissa, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Real good. Hey, I got a question. I'm working with a mortgage company, and their home office, we're going to be doing some team building and doing the leadership game. But the question that the vice president had is they've got like, you know, 7 or 8 other satellite offices around the state and around different parts of the country. And he always feels like they're kind of left out and that part of the mothership, so to speak. And he wanted some ideas about how to get them involved, because we're going to go with home office first, but then he's looking for ideas about later on about how to involve them, because there may be like 2 loan officers at one site, 1 at another, 4. I mean, so they're scattered with no rhyme or reason as far as how they're put together. Just looking for some ideas from you.
Yeah, I love that idea, John, because I think I have a couple ideas, actually. Are they willing to make a financial investment for these groups?
Yes.
Okay. So I would either, A, offer to fly out to those locations, and I would, you said they had 7 other locations?
7 or 8, but they're scattered around, so you can't fly out to one, because they may be 2 hours apart and have 2 brokers here and then another 2 hours away, you know.
Oh, sure. Okay, but if they're that close together, I would definitely put together some sort of team event that's central to those locations.
Okay.
So, like, for example, I was in Baltimore yesterday. We actually had 4 locations represented in Baltimore: Virginia Beach, one other place, Washington, and Baltimore. So there were 4,
okay.
I don't remember the 4 spots. But basically what they did is they just looked on a map and went, what's a hotel that's kind of in the middle of all of these? And they just brought the groups in together.
Okay.
Yeah. And then just, you know, it's you can have it be a 1-day event. If you plan it in a spot that's appropriate, you may not even have any overnights, maybe except for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can either, and then if you have a, you know, if you're renting a hotel space, you can either choose to have that game being run office to office, or you can bring them all together and do it as a, you know, like a team session, which I think would be awesome. I don't know how many people are all involved because you didn't mention that, but I think you just need to suggest to him that if the other option is if he doesn't want to have it a hotel, because sometimes that's expensive. The other thing that you could do is you could say, what's the central most located office, and let's do a session there. and then have everybody come to that central location.
Have you ever done a virtual leadership game?
I personally have not. No, I don't. Or I don't groove on that idea. Actually, that doesn't feel right to me.
I know. It
I think
to
like,
me.
Yeah, I feel like if you really, I mean, that's just my personal opinion. This is about getting people together. People connect
right.
together when they're together. And if the intention of your event is to connect leaders together so they can learn about each other and have transparent conversations, it's not going to happen virtually.
Okay.
Not as well, anyway. I don't know. Maybe Bridget, you might want to check with Bridget Krause and see what she suggests on that, because she's kind of our leadership expert, leadership game expert. But I just sense if they're only a couple hours apart from each other, it is not a big deal to ask people to travel in for a day. And then if there's too many of them, you could even stagger events, you know, like have a two-hour session in the morning and have a two-hour session in the afternoon somehow, or whatever would make sense for you.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, is this Miss Lynn?
Yes, it is. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Nice to hear your voice.
I know. It's so good to hear your voice, too. I was just, I get tickled every now and then on some things you say. I just love it. And,
oh, no.
I can just see
oh,
you.
No.
No, it's good. No, it's good. It's good. Good. I just can't believe you asked that guy at dinner. Oh, so I hear you're the discerning one. That was good.
Oh, yeah, I did.
That's
oh, I
good.
Did.
Takes
yeah,
the,
we had fun.
Takes the power away, you know? I mean, in a good way.
Oh, we Yeah, because I was doing with all full respect and a smile on my face, and I was really
yeah.
open with them. And yeah, definitely. Sometimes you
That's
just
got,
hey, just because you're not talking about it doesn't mean it's not already out there.
That's exactly right. And you might as well, because you're going to get more out of it if you approach it that way rather than tiptoe.
Yeah.
You can't have eggshells
yeah.
in the room or forget
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Okay, well, I'm cruising in to do the leadership game with this company, and I met with the CEO last week. And I mean, I've never been around somebody that it was such a driver. I mean, he took me around the warehouse. It was like a half an acre, and thank goodness I used to walk it fast, because I mean, I could hang with him. I bet he thought, I'm going to give her a test and see if she can hang with me. I was right on his heels, you know, and I was like, my God. And he was talking 1,000 miles an hour, and he took me up there and he said, okay, this is the deal. This is what we have. This is what we do. And blah, 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 and all these technical terms, some of the stuff I never even heard of. And he was going on. And I said, and so how, what are you doing to maintain the culture of this family business? And he just stopped and he said, nothing. And I was like, I can understand nothing. And so I was like, well, thank you. I wanted to say thank you for, you know, saying something I could follow. But anyway, I say all that to say, is there anything that, I'm just trying to be aware because I've blown it a couple of times, not, you know, mirroring the person's personality. And with somebody like that, going in the leadership game, I mean, I will definitely be, I'm a time person too, so I'll definitely keep up with the time and keep it moving. Is there anything else I need to,
well,
you know, be aware of ahead of time?
Yeah, do you think that he's going to hijack the game by doing his thing, by talking lots and being bold and going too fast? And do you think that that's a possibility?
I don't feel that in my gut, you know. I don't.
Okay.
I don't really.
Yeah.
I don't think so, because he, you know, he is. You know, he was really open to, with it. You know, and
yeah.
like last night I was at a mixer thing. He said, "Yeah, we want to bring you in," and you know, he was real open. So I don't feel like that, but I guess
what
if he
you...
does, I need to be ready if he does.
Well, what are you concerned about? What are you, because you obviously are having a little trepidation. What's on your mind? What are you thinking?
Well, I knew I, that one time I was with an engineer person and I blew it so bad with the proposal. So I just didn't want to, I guess I'm a little intimidated just a little bit because I've never worked with, you know, he's got a really huge, this is probably the biggest company I've worked with, so I'm probably deep down inside thinking it might, you know, that I need to do something different, and I probably really don't.
No, I mean, now that I asked the question, you just listened to how you answered, I mean, my sense is that you're just, and I don't think you really, really blew it with that engineer at all. I think you learned a ton, and I think that not everybody's your customer. not everybody's my customer, but you have these guys and they are your customer. And I think he's trusting you to do your thing and you be you. You just do you. Because, Lynn, you're so good with people. And this is not about analytics. This is about people.
That's right.
You know, you just go in there and you do what you know you're going to do. And you can't be prepared for everything.
That's right.
You
got to have a lesson
for this stuff. Yeah, you got to be prepared.
Yeah.
You got to be prepared for what it is that you're going to deliver. And then you have to sit in the seat of your soul and be confident that whatever comes out of that is something that is meant to come out of it. And it isn't your job to have the answers. It's your job to facilitate them coming to the answers.
That's right.
And
that's
so
right.
Many times we get so freaked out, like, oh, I'm supposed to be the sage on the stage, and we always say we don't want to be. But in those moments, it's almost like we go right to self-doubt, and then we go to self-judgment. So we're like in this, like, yeah, I got this. I feel self-confident. And then somebody asks us something, and rather than taking it for what the question is, we immediately interpret it as self-judgment, like, oh, I don't know the answer. I must be wrong. I'm really terrible. Why did I do this? What am I going to say? And we end up personalizing something when it really has nothing to do with us.
That's
and
right.
And the energy in the room that's being created because of these wonderful questions being asked in the leadership game, that energy is meant to help this family business.
That's exactly
so
right.
So I just, Lynn, honestly, and I'm not just saying this to make you feel good, if I was in an organization and you came in to lead my organization in a leadership game, I can very honestly tell you there is no one I would feel more safe taking care of the feelings of the people in the room than you.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I mean that. And
I appreciate that.
What you're doing. You're facilitating this in a way that you're facilitating not just the analytics, but how they are feeling as an organization. And if you can stay on that point and facilitate the other stuff that you're concerned about by just saying, what do you guys think? Who else would have a suggestion about that?
Yeah.
That's an interesting comment. Does anybody else have any feelings about that? Can anybody else talk any observations against that or to agree with that? And just go into those open questions. That's just the hot potato. So you don't have to soak it all in. You just have to take it with your left hand and give it with the right. You're passing it through.
That's right. That's right. Well, that. Thank you for saying that. And I really do appreciate that. And I appreciate you saying, reminding me, us, all of us, about the fact that we are the facilitator. Because this last session, although we had a lot of breakthroughs in it with this other company, I realized I was kind of on point. I was on stage for. I need to be aware of, like you said, push it back to them and asking better questions. And they talked a lot, but still, I was still like I felt like I always needed to say something. And I don't always need to be saying something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's good lessons. That's good lessons for yourself. But that's all that you're always going to be learning about yourself. I do the same thing. Like, I'm having all this new awareness even yesterday in my session, and I don't know how many of those I've delivered. Honestly, I have no idea how many of those I've delivered. And I still went, huh, next time I'm going to be a little different in here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm that's right. And I learned so much today just from those examples. So we have to, every time we can be better. And one other thing I was going to ask you, do you have time for one more quick question?
Yep. Yes, okay. Of course.
It was the first time I had had something like this, and I could almost feel myself a little bit. I mean, I think I pulled it off because I was smiling the whole time, you know. But this guy just took control, I mean, of the question. He was just, like on a stump, talking about leadership can't be taught, and just on and on. And I'm thinking, I was thinking a lot of things. But I'm not going to say what I was thinking, but I was like, oh, dude, you know, don't, I mean, do you understand? Google, when you get out of here, Google, you know, this is what we're doing. That's why I'm here. But anyway, I didn't do all that. And somebody in there actually kind of came to bat for me, but I wasn't really sure. I never would agree with him, but I didn't just go with it. I mean, I came back around and asked kind of a question, you know, like, well, this is leaving a big gap or something, and what can we do, you know, let's think of some things that you can do to bring these people up. So I didn't, but he really, I guess it was his day in the sun. I mean, he really went off, and so maybe I need to make sure I do that, use that timer sometimes, or like you said, just kind of do the little timeout thing.
Yeah, so, I think it's perfectly okay to do the timeout. And I'll even say, you know, like, okay, so just to give you yesterday in my session, and I just keep using that session because it's such a real application to what we're trying to do. So the particular CEO that I was working with was a very bold, brash guy with an accent, and he's 6'7".
Oh, my God.
So he's big. Everything about him is big. His voice is big. His body and his body language is big. His opinions are big. And when he would come off with some sort of, burr, burr, you know, like he would come after something, I would just smile. And I would say, in your opinion.
That's right. And that's a good
in
way
your
to
opinion.
Say it.
Or the other thing that I said is, or...
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I did.
Or...
So, yes, I honestly, and that throws people for a loop, and I do it with such a big smile on my face because it just resets the room.
Yeah.
I'm not taking it. I'm not avoiding it. I'm simply standing there as the facilitator, and I smile, and I say, or.
I love or.
And I kind of
I love
laugh.
That. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, because, again, there it is. You're taking it on the left hand and you're passing it off with the right hand or whatever. It's just facilitating the dialogue. And I would, again, at the very beginning of that session, I would set the tone for what you're going to do if anyone, the owner or the janitor, gets off on a tangent and disrespects the time.
That's exactly right, and that's true. If you said it in the beginning, and you know there are people around that table that appreciated you saying or to him, because you know they treat if he could do that to you, you know what he's doing around to the other people. They are looking to us. I mean, we are the ones that are coming in here as we're not trying to be the expert. We are trained, and so we I'm sure have to redirect it. So
That's exactly right.
Well, thank you for my little
good
mentorship
luck.
Today. I'm ready now.
I'm so glad.
I'm ready
thank
for that guy.
Thank you for getting on the call, Lynn. I always
well, thank
love
you for
your
doing
questions.
It.
They're so helpful for everybody. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you, and have a great rest of the day, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yes, 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 you too. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Gang, we have no one else in the question queue right now, so if you have a question you'd like to ask me, I would hit *6 right now. I'll just give everybody a moment here and see if anybody has anything else that they'd like to ask before we end the call. And it looks like people are leaving, so I think we're done. Thank you, everybody, so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it, and I hope this was valuable for you. Go out and have a great day. Take care.